hard to believe. Would you please stand and worship with us?
Welcome. My name is Julie. I am so, so glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. Hopefully, on your way in, you were able to grab the sermon notes from one of the tables at the entrances, and we also had communion elements out there. We're going to be observing communion today as a church family. I just want a minute with all of the moms and dads of school age, high school kiddos. I just want to take a minute, take a deep breath. You survived Maycember. You did it. We made it. to June. I know, you're just exhausted. You cheer louder, but you're just still reeling from what I know was a really crazy, busy month. But if you think about it, I know we have summer ahead of us, lots of plans probably that you're considering. But as you leave today, I would recommend grabbing one of these little cards on your way out. It has some save the date things that you just want to be mindful of. Of course, we always tell you to download the app, and please do if you haven't already. But there's just something about hanging a card on your fridge, right? It's just so much more helpful to have those things in front of you. But I just want to highlight a few things for you today. One of them seems like it's a while away, but so did June, and here we are. So June 29th, the last Sunday of this month, we're going to be having a new people party. For those of you, if you've never attended one, please come. But really, if you've been here coming for the last, you know, few months, few weeks, we would love a chance to get to know you a little bit better, introduce our staff, and share a little bit more about the ministries that we have here. But if this is one of your first weeks, don't wait until the end of June to connect with us. I would really encourage you to go ahead today and grab one of the connection cards in front of you and fill that out and take it to the guest services out here. They would love to get to know you a little bit better. So don't wait until June 29th, but do keep that date on your calendar. Also, a week from tomorrow, this room is going to be filled with the most amazing group of children, young people, adults, people serving. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a crazy party. So that starts a week from tomorrow, but today is the last day that you can register online. So we would really love it if our people, our church family, if you guys would go ahead and do that. That really helps things run more smoothly. Of course, we accept walk-ins. People can register the morning of any day they bring their kiddos, but it certainly makes things go more smoothly if the majority of our families are pre-registered. So please do that today if you haven't already. And then finally, today after service in the Family Life Center, what do we call it? The gym? I still call it the gym. It's got basketball nets. It's a gym. Anyway, there's going to be a women's event called Gratitude and Grace. And even if you didn't sign up, we would love for you to come and join us after service today, just right around here. Look for the basketball nets. No, it'll be decorated. It'll be decorated beautifully. So now that you've had a minute to sit and rest, why don't you stand up and take a minute to find somebody around you that maybe you haven't met before and introduce yourself. Say hello.
Thank you. Jesus. Come on.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes.
The God who heals.
You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing.
Worship together this morning and praising the only one who can, Jesus Christ. We're going to take a few moments to celebrate communion together. That first verse of that last song we sang said, I'm searching the whole world. And we found the answer in Jesus. So as we get ready for communion, if you don't have some communion elements, just lift up your hand. Our ushers will come forward. They'd love to give them for you. They're coming up. Just raise your hand if you don't have communion cups. There's a couple over here. One down front here. Ned, and over that way next. There we go. When it comes to communion, one of the things that Paul wrote and encouraged the church in Corinth was to, as we came, is that we'd spend time preparing, like in examination or just placing ourselves before Jesus and saying, is there anything that I have that I need to deal with first? Anything that I have, an offense that I need to just seek forgiveness of and just confession of. So I'd like to give us a few moments of quiet, of silence, and for you just to speak and listen to the Lord. Maybe offer that confession. God, something happened this past week, and I thank you for this reminder of your forgiveness. So let's take a few moments. We thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives. And God, many of us have, some of us have had maybe good past weeks or harder past weeks, and we just come and you know it all, you see it all, and we offer that to you. God, we thank you for this reminder of your grace and your forgiveness in our lives. We confess before you, Lord, the ways that we have fallen short and we have not done all the things that you would like us how to live. And we ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your gift on the cross. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he gathered in the upper room with his disciples. During the meal, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." The same way, after supper, he took the cup. Once again, he gave thanks, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant for you, shed with his blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." So take and drink. Jesus, so often we come before you and we have this time of communion. We remember your sacrifice. We remember your gift to us. And we return back our praise. We turn back to you with joy and thanksgiving of all the things that you can have done and continue to do. But thank you for being our Savior. May we continue to celebrate and worship you together. Amen.
Praise to the Lord.
Have a seat. Continue in worship at this time with our tithes and offerings. You know, we have many different ways that we worship the Lord, and with our own skills, abilities, our time, our energy, and our voices, our lives, and also with our resources. And God asks us to steward those as well as we can. And so we have time to give back tithes and offerings. I'll pray for us. Lord God, we thank you. Very much aware that every beat of our hearts, every breath in our lungs is from you. You hold us together. Every day that we have is a gift from you. So we thank you. Lord, we give these offerings back to you this morning for you to use them. We ask that you would bless them for your work, for your kingdom, for more people to be in a relationship with you, for your word to be known more throughout the world. We thank you for entrusting us with them, and we offer these back to you. Thanks for being the Lord of our hearts and all that we have. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Invite our ushers to come forward, and if you're in the center aisle here, you can pass the buckets out to the sides, and if you're up in the balconies, they go from the outside back in. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Adam Just. I get to serve here, executive pastor of ministry. I get to share God's word with all of us this morning. If you are worshiping online, welcome. Glad you're here. I think today is it's a special day. It is June 1st. It's also a good day. Several area schools are celebrating their graduations, including Sylvania Northview. So Pastor Rob is there celebrating with their older daughter Riley this morning. So that's great. Awesome stuff. One of the things that he shared last week is that this past week, many of us on staff and some members here at Westgate went down to Columbus because we are a part of a Christian and Missionary Alliance, our denomination here at Westgate Chapel. And we've spent the last couple weeks looking at our kind of our DNA. So we were in a series called the CMA DNA, which is the Christian Missionary Alliance's, are like core gospel truths that we like, this is what we hope to be living by and gives us direction since the late 1800s. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about Christ, our Savior. Last week was Christ, our sanctifier, and this morning is Christ, our healer. And as a group, we met last week, and Rob asked you all to pray. And so hopefully you were praying for all of us as we went. It was a good week. It was a long week. It was a very full week. It was encouraging. And one of the things he specifically asked for us to be praying about is we had a presidential election for our denomination. And that went well without kind of drama. It's like the opposite of our U.S. political system. And we really believe that God was honored with the selection of our next CNMA president. As well, I also want to share with you that they also elect new members to the board of directors. And one of our church members, Mike Stein, was elected this past week to be a part of the board of directors. I'm not going to make you stand up, Mike, but you can just wave. And so we're grateful to have Mike, and he has many years of experience working with missions around the world, and I think he will give some great experience and wisdom to be a part of that board. So thank you for representing us, Mike, as well. So as we said, we've been talking in this series, and today we're going to be talking about Christ, our healer. And it's our understanding that Jesus has been healing since the beginning and currently and will go on to eternity, into the future. I also, maybe as a disclaimer, just wanted to share, I know that the topic of healing can be challenging. I don't know everyone's stories. But I do know we come from all different places, and we have different backgrounds, probably different church backgrounds, and maybe some of us come here with maybe some baggage, maybe some pain or hurt from past experiences thinking about Christ as our healer, and others are here, we're like, yes, we're going to talk about healing, and that's awesome. We need to share more about the healing power of Jesus. We sing about it. You might not know, we sing about it a lot, and we have opportunities for people to receive prayer each Sunday. But so we're talking about Jesus as our healer. And also let you know, message will be a little bit shorter so we can have at the end a little more time in musical worship and also to do some ministry of like prayer around healing and interceding for each other. And that's a privilege that we have, is to, you know, to pray for one another. So I know we all have stuff. We all have stuff happening, going on, in ways that we could ask for God to bring healing, and we're going to provide opportunity for that at the end of the service as well. So be listening to the Holy Spirit this morning. Our main text comes out of Matthew 8, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, 1 through 17. But before we get there, I wanted us to kind of get a running start and kind of understand where healing fits in with the entirety of God's Word, right? There's a lot of narrative that contains healing as well, and we'll look at that in Matthew 8. But first, kind of understand where the beginning is and why we need that healing. So way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 2, we read that God creates. He makes everything, right? He speaks everything into existence. He spoke that there's light, there's people, there's lands, you know, sun, moon, and stars. There is birds and animals and people. And he says, he breathes into man the breath of life. And he creates male and female, and then Adam in God puts Adam and Eve into the garden. And he says, be there, and you are to tend and to take care of it. And so this is this first tree. As God has placed a tree, many trees, it says, there's rivers and also trees there, but there's one specifically that he points out. And that is this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you can have food from fruit from any of the trees except this one. It certainly didn't look like this fake ficus. Right, it didn't, but this is just, you know, a picture. Get the idea, okay? Then in Genesis 3, because he says, if you eat of it, you will most certainly die. Right? We go to chapter 3. Adam and Eve, they go and they partake and take of this fruit. They disobey. They take this original agreement that they had between them and the Lord God. And then there's brokenness. There's disobedience. And this begins, we call this like the fall. It's where sin enters the world, that there is a curse. And part of that is toil and hardship. And because of sin, we're going to die. It's not a sudden death. It is an eternal death. But because of this, we're not living in the garden anymore. And so we have to leave the garden. And because of that, there's sickness and there's brokenness and there's illness and there's disease. And we get older and my knees stop working the way that they used to. And not just physically, we start to have, we have brokenness. Like even in chapter 4, the next one, we have Cain and Abel. There's relationship discord. The consequences are huge. And so we have, there's this huge problem that we see and experience in our world each and every day. This is the first tree at the beginning. We go over here. The last book of the Bible is Revelation. In Revelation, in the last chapter, guess what? What do you think is there? Come on. I need your help. Whew. Another great, beautiful tree that we have here. There's a tree. Revelation 22. Read this for you. This is the God gives John, the disciple, a vision about, you know, what is to come. At the very end, he sees new heaven, new earth, and this is how things are going to be happening. But he ends in chapter 22. Then the angel showed John, me, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle. The Lamb is Jesus. So, and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. So tree one from Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, representing this entrance point of sin and sickness and illness and disease and hurt and just ugliness and brokenness. And then we have this second tree at the end in Revelation of how God is going to bring healing and restore and make all things new. And this is the overarching story that we read in the Bible. And for us today, where do we live? We live not here yet. We're also not back in the garden. So we live in this place, in this world that has all this junk in it. Thankfully, we're not left alone. God loves us. God seeks us. God seeks to bring healing, not only forever, But also, there are times and places in our lives that we know Christ is our healer, that he gives us a foretaste, he gives us a preview of the final product, I guess we could say. So, little background, big picture, right? Big picture. So now we're zooming in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. And to get a little bit of a running start, Matthew 8, chapter 7, 6, and 5 are all before. Anybody know what's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Sermon on the Mount, I heard it. Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is giving this Sermon on the Mount. I have a picture here that they'll put up there of a possible location. This is there in Galilee, and one potential spot, a hillside, mountainside. So I wanted to show you, to kind of get an image here. Jesus is, and sorry if the trees are blocking the way. Just didn't think about that. So, yeah, it's a tree in the picture. Good. So we have a hillside. And down on at the bottom of the hillside, you see a town far off in the distance. And then past that is the Sea of Galilee. So in your mind's eye, picture Jesus and this crowd on a hillside. And he's been teaching them, saying all these great, wonderful things about the kingdom, challenging things about the kingdom of God. And then he's done. And then he leaves the hillside, and that's where we are in chapter 8, as he's going to encounter three different people. Some between, from the walk from the hillside down to the town of Capernaum. Capernaum's actually right on the water, not like this one. But between there, he encounters a man that has leprosy. Then right once he gets into Capernaum, he encounters a centurion. And then further in, he is going to encounter Peter's mother-in-law. And so we have a movement here from the mountain down into the city, into the or village, and then into the village further. And each one, there's a narrative about healing. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 8. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Big group of people. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, like a Roman officer, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found faith. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. Jesus goes further in, right? When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. That's Matthew 8, 1 through 17, God's word to us. So Jesus, our healer, kind of start by asking the question, what do we learn and observe from Jesus and these interactions with people? What do we learn and observe from Christ, our healer? Number one is that Jesus touches and heals. So Jesus touches and heals. And so healing's a big thing. So we're trying to put, like, how do we get healing in a box? How can we understand all this? And my goal is going through all these nine things is really, okay, you're forming a box and then break it. All right? So first one, Jesus touches and heals. So we think proximity matters. Proximity matters. He touches, brings healing, right? Jesus isn't worried about getting near. He's not worried about getting close to sickness, illness, brokenness, whatever we have, whatever the case is. He's not afraid of that. He's not afraid to go and touch the outcast or the broken. He's not afraid. Number two, Jesus touches the unclean. Jesus touches the place of brokenness. The place where the wound is flowing. It's what he touches. You know, a person that had leprosy wasn't allowed to come into a village or be around others. It was most often they're different types of infectious skin diseases. And so they had to stay outside of a village and usually call out that they were near to have people get away. And he comes and kneels before Jesus and says, if you are willing, I know you can heal me. And what's interesting, what we learn, Jesus could say, okay, be healed. But he reaches out and touches the leprous man who is ceremonially unclean. By this, Jesus would have become ceremonially unclean. Not sin, don't hear that, but ceremonially unclean. And he heals him instantly. Then he tells him, go and show yourself to the priest. And the thing that we learn from Leviticus 14 is that if you were cleansed from leprosy, then you got to go back into the temple. And then the priest would then do a few things, offer a few birds and take some blood and, you know, place it and touch your body. The priest would wait until you were clean before you got touched. Jesus touches before you're clean. It's like a precursor here of what Paul writes in Romans 5 verses 8. He said, while you are still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. We often might feel we have to get our acts together, you know, doll ourselves up, make ourselves look like to come to Jesus. Jesus comes and touches when we're not. Because he knows we can't do it on our own. So Jesus comes, touches the unclean. Number three, Jesus doesn't touch, but speaks. All of a sudden we have this box, boom, wait, he can just speak now and have it be. Jesus doesn't touch, but speaks, and he still hears. And so all of a sudden proximity now doesn't matter. Jesus isn't bound by that. There's a reflection about God the Father who speaks and creates. And Jesus being God, he can speak, create, heal, restore with his word. So Jesus doesn't touch, but speaks and still heals in the case of the centurion's servant. Number four, Jesus heals when a person asks. So the centurion asks on behalf of another, and then the man asks. And gets healed multiple other times in other stories in the Gospels that people come and they ask Jesus for healing. It's a great privilege for us that he wants us to ask. Maybe they had heard Jesus. Maybe there in the Sermon on the Mount when in Matthew 6, verse 7, he said, ask and it'll be given to you. Number five, Jesus heals when someone asks on behalf of another person. Jesus heals when someone asks on behalf of another. You know, we are called as Christ followers to love one another. One of the great ways we love one another is to pray for one another, is to intercede for another. It's a great gift that we have, that God gives the church. But Jesus heals when someone else asks on behalf of someone else. Six, Jesus heals when the person has faith. Jesus heals when the person has faith. Faith is a trust in God. Hebrews 11, that author says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith is trusting in the plans and purposes of God, no matter what they are. When we can see and when we can't see. It's a trust and belief in God's will and his love for us, even when the outcome is a mystery. Even when we don't understand. Even when we don't agree. Jesus heals when the person has faith. Number seven, Jesus heals when we don't know about the faith of a person. Can you tell me about the faith of the servant? Can you tell me about the faith of Peter's mother-in-law? Can you tell me about the faith of the man that's lowered by the mat by his friends? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know about the faith of the man in John 5 that Jesus heals by the pool. There's no profession or confession, no asking. Jesus comes up and just, do you want to get well? Yeah. Oh. He didn't know who Jesus was. Acts chapter 3, the man at the beautiful gate, he's begging for money from Peter and John. He doesn't know. He's just asking for money. He says, well, I don't have money. What do I do have? In the name of Jesus Christ, get up, and he's well. We don't know about faith. So Jesus touches. He doesn't touch. He speaks. Sometimes he doesn't speak. Sometimes someone asks directly. Sometimes we ask upon for someone else. Sometimes there's a clear, say that this person has a faith response. Other times we're not sure, and it's just the grace and the giving of Christ our healer. There's a lot of mystery within Christ as our healer. Number eight, Jesus heals to restore the person in community and relationship. The healing of the man with leprosy allows him to go back to the village, to participate, to be home again. The servant to be restored within that household. Peter's mother-in-law to get up, and I don't know if this is after what Jesus just did. Maybe he was hungry and she was the one that made the food, and so he's like, oh, you have a fever? Get up. She gets up and it says she starts serving right away. But we know that Jesus heals to restore and can restore community and restore us back to community. Number nine, Jesus heals to fulfill prophecy. That's how Matthew ends that section in verse 17. This is from Isaiah 53, verse 4. And most of us are familiar with Isaiah 53 because we know it as this song of the suffering servant. And this, it's mostly shared or read or taught upon around Good Friday, around when we're reflecting upon Jesus and his death, his atoning work on the cross. And we point to Isaiah 53 as Jesus is fulfilling prophecy with the piercing and the iniquities laid upon him. And like by his wounds, we are healed. And yes, through the atoning work of Jesus, we are healed eternally. Our souls are have this opportunity through Jesus to have life, to live eternally, reconciliation. But somehow, in some way, Matthew is incorporating this, and he's also saying, by his wounds we are healed. And it's pointing to all these healings in some physical way, in some maybe emotional way, in some relationship way, that there is Christ as our healer there. And so maybe some way we can think of it as there's one tree, and then there's one tree at the end, and we can think of the cross as a tree, this piece of wood that Jesus hung on for his atonement, which has eternity in mind. But Matthew points to there's also some work available in the here and now. So what does this mean for us today? As we are living in this time in between these two trees, what does this mean for us today? And I know I picked letters this time instead of numbers. Letter A, that there is pain, that there is sickness, there is illness, there's suffering, there's brokenness. There is, right? We know because of this, that's what is here. And it's not because God isn't powerful. It's not because he's not good. It's not because he isn't loving. It's because we're living in this space. Jesus and much of the New Testament writers talked about this. Jesus says in John 16, in this world you will have trouble. Fear not, for I have overcome. Paul in Romans 5 talks about the suffering that we go through. And this suffering actually, as we persevere, develops character and ends up developing hope in our lives. James talks about, in James 1, he talks about, the suffering that we go through, the trials that we go through, has a purpose. That as we push through, as we persevere, that there is a working done, which Christ our sanctifier is doing in us. Hebrews 12 says, as we're in this road, as we're running this race, that even that Jesus, we think about him and what he endured on the cross, so that as we are going through hardship and hard times, that we consider him so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So if we think that following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, means your life is supposed to be easy, if you think following Jesus means that you're not going to have any more pain or hurt or hardship in your life, you have a faulty theology when it comes to being a disciple. Because in this world, we will have trouble. We will have hardship. Because this is the time and space that we are living in. Letter B, Jesus sees our hurt. He sees the illness. He sees the brokenness. He knows the pain. He knows, he sees, he cares, he loves. This morning I was just reading it in Psalm 23, and it clicked this image again of, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what's the next verse? What? Fear and evil for? Again, thou art with me. Even when we are going through the hardship, even we are going through and we're in this season of hurt or pain, trial, brokenness, whatever it is, we're not alone. We're not alone. Jesus is with us. And we pray, as you look around to your right and your left, you're not worshiping alone, and we're not alone. That's why we have church body, church family. Letter C, we know for us today that we can ask for healing. And whatever it is, we can ask. We have that privilege. We have this invitation from our Lord to ask. D, we can intercede on the behalf of others. We can ask on behalf of each other. And again, both of these we are going to do in a few minutes. Letter E, sometimes there is healing. Sometimes there is healing in the way that we want. And Jesus is always healing because he is our healer. And sometimes there's healing that happens in the way that we want. Many years ago, the first church that I was serving in, there was a young woman named Laura who suddenly one Sunday morning we got there and worshiped. And the word started to get spread that she had just had a stroke. Unexpected. And was in the hospital, and they did the work and the scans, and it showed like the damn. I don't understand all the scans, but they said the scans showed the damage. And then so we felt called to pray. So later on that evening, we gathered in the chapel, and those of us that were there, we prayed and we worshiped and we interceded and we asked, God, please bring healing. Please restore. Whatever your will is, we're asking. The next morning, the next day, they go and they did another scan, and the doctors were amazed because they saw no damage. Yeah, praise the Lord. So sometimes we intercede, sometimes we ask, and there is the answer that we desire, and there is the healing in the way that we would like. Next, sometimes there is not healing in the way that we desire. Or the way that we want. Paul in 2 Corinthians shares with all of us and writes about how he had a thorn in his flesh. That's always debated on what that is, but Paul, if anyone would have faith enough to have healing and God to heal and restore him, we would think it would be Paul. But he said he asked multiple times, please remove this. I always think of a giant thorn in the thigh. I don't know. But that's not the response, the answer that he got. The response was, my grace is sufficient for you. His glory will be shown in our weaknesses. So Paul writes that he will boast all the more gladly about his weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on him. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he delights in the weaknesses, in the insults, in the hardships, in the persecutions, in the difficulties. In that same church, there was another younger woman named Beth, and she had came suddenly a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And so we together as a church again gathered and prayed and gathered at their home and like Jericho walked around her house praying and asking and interceding and asking God to do a miracle, miraculous work. And a few days later, she died. And again, if we didn't understand the big picture, we trust that she has now eternal healing. At that time, not the way that we wanted, but it was the Lord's will. Letter G, there are certain confusions that travel around with the topic of healing or misconceptions. One that I often can hear is that I'm sick because of this, like, sin. Or we have been told, well, there's that sin in your life, which obviously means that's why you're ill. I think sometimes there is like a one-to-one corollary between if you're making a bad choice that leads to something, that's going to happen. But we can't say it's, you know, a one-to-one. If that was in the day and time of Jesus, like in John 9 with the man who was born blind. They asked, who sinned? And Jesus says, it's not that. There is sin, tree number one, that results in all of this, yes. But it's not always a one-to-one. And I've heard that logic being used to abuse people over the years. Oh, you're not getting healed. Obviously, you must have something in your life. Another thing that you aren't being healed because you don't have enough faith. You're not being healed because you don't have enough faith. I know I've been told that in my life before, and it's wounding. As I think we've seen, we don't always know the faith. And so we have to remember we need to focus on the healer, not the healing. Sometimes we get caught up with the healing and not the healer. Another, I think, misconception is that there's a work. If we're not being healed, then, oh, I need to do something else. I need to almost go back to this theology of works, that I need to earn some kind of healing. If I show God that I'm penitent enough, if I do enough, if I give enough, if I serve enough, then I'll have earned enough faith heaven points that God will. And we can laugh and chuckle about it, but how much of us do we actually think that way versus just it's grace, what God's will is? Overall, we need to say that when we trust in obedience and faith, a lot of it is a mystery to us. And last, H, that Jesus Christ, our healer, has provided our eternal healing. So there's a bigger picture for us. So a question for all us to consider this morning is, what do you need Jesus to do for you? What do you need to ask of Jesus, our healer, today? I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and I just want to walk us through, kind of give us some, maybe some instructions here. One, I think we ask that question, what do we need Jesus to do? And there's a piece in there that we need to be humble and honest. The example of like Adam and Eve, of hiding, we don't want to hide. If you feel like you need to hide this morning, just confess that to the Lord. You can ask, Holy Spirit, what is something that you want to work in my life today? Also, we might need to have lament and grieve over what we're feeling, what ills us, what is brokenness that we experience in our lives. Grieve over what has been tearing us up. That also might be a need to offer forgiveness to yourself or to someone else. Many of us might be just consumed with bitterness. Bitterness in a relationship. Bitterness over a situation. And God, heal me. Heal my bitter heart. This morning, you might need to ask, God, heal a relationship. Lord, this morning, I'm involved in some continual pattern of sin in my life, and I need you to break the chains. God, there is a stronghold bondage upon me, and I need you to break it. Maybe for others of us, we're struggling or wrestling with depression, some mental anxiety that we would like to receive healing for. Maybe it's a certain addiction that we ask Jesus, our healer, to heal. Maybe it's a physical ailment that we are battling. Jesus, will you come speak and heal me? Desire for this to be a safe place, for that to happen, for the Holy Spirit to do this kind of work this morning. So as the band will play, they're going to play two songs. And I invite you, if you are being prompted and you want someone to pray for you, I invite you now, please stand up. Again, it's a safe place. I pray for courage for you, knowing that we love one another when we share and when we come alongside. So if you would like to have received prayer this morning for healing, for something going on in your life, for anything like what I've mentioned or something else, I invite you now just to stand up. Thank you. And as you are standing, you kind of lift your hand up in the air so we can see. And now I would invite, we have some elders, some of our prayer team, some of our staff, and if you are around a person that's standing, come near. Now, if you're standing and you want to receive prayer this morning, once someone has come near, go ahead and put your hand back down. So we know that you're being, you know, prayed for. We have a couple more up front here. There's one in the back there. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Joe. So we're just going to pray as we sing. As the people here, if you still feel like, oh, later on as the singing, you can come forward and our prayer team will be up here. But once we, as we're singing and praying, feel free for the rest of us to rise and join in song. And our songs will also be prayers for all those that are being prayed for right now. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for not leaving us with the sin and the brokenness and the turmoil from that was in Genesis 3. Thank you for coming to earth and making a way for us to be with you and be right with you forever. And also thank you for being our healer and giving us a preview, giving us a foretaste of what eternity will be like. So I just lift up these brothers and sisters that are being prayed for right now. And God, we want to speak your truth and your hope and your power upon them as we pray and sing together. Amen. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for
I want you. Master loves no substitute will ever do. There's nothing more I'll ever pursue. This world they give me, I surrender until my heart grows tender. Here be my treasure, my greatest call. No substitute will ever do. There's nothing more pursue. I want Jesus. Oh, I want Jesus. Oh, I want.
Let that be your heart's desire.
Oh, only Jesus.
Only our God who heals.
Take this world they give me. I want Jesus.
together, church family. God, we thank you. Jesus, thank you for being our healer. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We can't do it alone, God. Can't do it. We're broken. And we need you. Continue to meet us wherever we go this week. Not only you are our healer, but you give us opportunity to be healers in our world. We're wounded, but you also use us to be wounded healers. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. As we close worship this morning, if there's still something there, we have our wonderful prayer team members up here, the Diarmans and Barbara and Chad over here, and you can come up, service is done, and they'll pray for you, or go to our prayer room, and this is available every Sunday. Please take advantage of the gift of interceding and have other people praying for you. Because we don't need to walk alone. If you're online, you can submit that prayer request that way as well. So go out this week. The peace of the Lord, the power of our Savior Jesus, and through the saving power of the Holy Spirit. The living power of the Holy Spirit. Go in his peace. Amen.